about, I was thinking maybe about 12 or so years ago, I remember the diocese offered this kind of like a day of prayer for priests. I think it was probably during Lent. And it was just one day. It was kind of like a mini retreat. And it was optional. You didn't have to go. But I went. And it was very good. It was a couple of talks, talk in the morning, lunch. Guys kind of hung out, kind of little social stuff. And then I think another talk in the afternoon. Then we probably concluded with Mass. Priest was the presenter for this day. I remember he was a Franciscan priest. He had I remember the brown robes he wore. I don't even remember his name. But like I said, he was good. It was a good day. I remember at one point, I remember this really is all I remember specifically about this day. He asked us at one point to think about the darkest moments of our lives as priests. Which was kind of a serious question. None of us, I don't think, was really expecting it. And we could tell, he really wanted us. It wasn't just a quick think about it for a half a minute. It was like he gave us time to kind of go off on our own for a little bit. He had a couple of questions to kind of help us consider that question. Like your darkest moments as a priest. So we probably went off on our own, I don't know, 15 minutes maybe, and then we came back and we went around the room. It's probably about 30 guys. And they described these moments, mostly parish work, just terrible, heartbreaking, kind of tragic stories where they were present. They did the funeral. They arrived at the hospital. Incredibly sad stories. I had a few, but I couldn't believe what some of these guys, some of them were, I'd say most of these priests were at least older than me, some of them quite a bit older, so they just had more experience. Car accidents, couple of 9/11 stories, kids dying, cancer, suicide, some violence related stories, being called to accident sites. It was a ridiculously sad kind of conversation that probably went on for about a half hour, and then he just kind of let us go around the room, like I said, and then he said this or something to this effect. He said, "Okay, guys, thank you for sharing. Now, go back to your dark stories and tell me about the light." Tell us all now how light ultimately pierced those dark stories. I remember him saying it with such sort of confidence. It wasn't like, tell us if light pierced the dark. It was like, no, I know it did. Now you just tell us how it did. Explain how light and hope emerged in these objectively awful moments. And we did. We went around the room again. The guys had so much to say. I think we had more detail in the light stories than the dark stories. Guys just talked about the love that they witnessed within families who were grieving, suffering, and just the absolute love that parents for kids, spouses to each other, just, they talked about the kindness of, man, and I witnessed this. I mean, I was saying some of these things because I remember this, like just the kindness of neighbors and parish friends, people just being present in these very horrible moments. Kindness of strangers, generosity of people, the faith of people. Like light always breaks through. It always breaks through. And I just think that's it's a very simple point, but an incredibly important one for us not to forget. Doesn't always break through fast or on our time schedule. But if we go along for the ride, it shows up. Light always emerges. And I think what this priest, this retreat director, was kind of saying to us was he wanted us to point out to us how that, like, you know, we need to be oftentimes the ones who point people to the light when they're just desperately lost and maybe without hope. Like, it's our job to remind them that light is coming when they positively can't see it. Yeah, that's what we keep getting. That point, which I think was his, is really mine tonight. Like with these readings now, this is Easter Sunday was what, a couple of weeks ago. We're out now, this is now the third Sunday of Easter. The readings are all kind of, they're all this kind of variations of the same story. He just keeps showing up. The apostles, in every one of these stories, they're lost, they're scared, they're heartbroken. They're just shell-shocked from Good Friday. Darkness, crazy darkness. And he keeps showing up. I mean, the gospel tonight, it's interesting, it says, it begins, the two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread on the way. Well, where was the way? It was these two disciples who had packed it in. They were going home after Good Friday. They had been in Jerusalem. The presumption was they were now heading back to their pre-Jesus lives. The lives that they had left to follow him. Good Friday happens. They can't believe it. So they've quit. They're just devastated. And he shows up. And then they do an about face. After they realize it's him, they return to the apostles. The remaining apostles are still hiding in this room because they're scared out of their skin that they're going to be next. This is going to be like a Good Friday sequel. They'll be taking his place. And he shows up again. As these two guys are telling the rest, you can't believe what just happened. We were walking and talking with him on the road. We didn't know it was him. We invited him to stay over, have a meal. He, in the middle of the meal, it like lights went off. And we realized it was him. They're telling the apostles that, and all of a sudden, he shows up yet one more time. Like, that's the point. It is never permanently dark. It's dark, sometimes crazy dark, but never forever. That's our faith. That's Easter. Man, and that's how we have to live our lives, knowing that light is gonna show up when it's dark. Not that it's always dark. Hopefully there's light in our lives most of the time. But we all know there are moments when there aren't. Go back to that conversation with those priests. 30 years as a priest myself, I got a fair share of pretty dark stories. Dark situations I had to walk into, like Good Friday moments for people whose lives had exploded. And I think, like I said, that what that priest was trying to get us to realize was like, your job, guys, is to remind them that you're not alone. It is dark, but not without hope. And light will reemerge. I remember, I know I've told this story, I love it. It's an article I had read about President Bush, Bush 41, the first Bush, and he was talking about faith and leadership and the need for faith in order to be a good leader. And he told a story about when he was vice president, he had to go to the Soviet Union. This was before the fall, because Brezhnev, who was the leader, had died. So he was going representing the United States at his funeral. And he talked about this very, very solemn, clearly godless ceremony. Funeral type service, but no faith at all. And where he was seated, you know, he was a VIP, he was kind of seated pretty close to the coffin with, I guess, other heads of state. And he said, right at the end, the coffin had been up, open, the entire service, and as they were, and his widow stood by the coffin the whole time, very solemn. And the soldiers or the guards, whomever, they approached the coffin and they were getting ready to lower it. So this was the final moment. And just before they started to lower it, Bush said that his widow moved. And she moved and like now stood in a second in front of the coffin where you couldn't, she was sort of blocking where most people were. So they could see her back and the coffin was right in front of her and she leaned into the coffin and Bush could see this because of the seat that he had. She leaned into the coffin and did the sign of the cross on his chest. She didn't want anybody to see it. I mean, this was atheist Russia. This was godless communism, where there was no God. So she wanted nobody to see it, but she did it, and he saw it. And his point was, like in the darkest of places, communist Russia, the light of Christ and his hope emerges. You know, I worked, I've told you before, I worked years ago on the colleges, and I remember I was chaplain at Adelphi, and this kid came up one day. We would, in this student center, we were able to put a table, you could reserve a spot. It was like kind of like where there was a lot of traffic. You could put a table with your different, whatever club you represented. So we had the Catholic club and, you know, the Catholic Newman Center there one day. And this kid came by. I don't even remember this, but he told me this after the fact. He was a freshman. This was a couple of, maybe 2 months into the semester. And he was a Catholic kid, came from a very Catholic family. Went to a Catholic high school, and he was now on this college campus, this very not Catholic, very secular campus. And he was sitting in classes now for 6 or 8 weeks where kind of his values were being dismissed and not very tolerated. And he said he was discouraged. He wasn't liking it. He felt very alone. He was beginning to question stuff that he had always kind of taken for granted, his faith. Anyway, we were there one day, and we had this big poster of John Paul II. We had it on like this easel, so you couldn't miss it. And it, I think it said like Mass, Catholic Mass, Sunday night, whatever time it was. We just wanted to quick, like, let people see that we're here. And he saw it, and he showed up. And he never looked back. He became a total member of the Catholic community. Didn't even live on campus, but he'd come to Mass every Sunday night, retreats, service trips. He's now a priest of the diocese. It's like dark stories where there appears to be no God, no light, no hope. And then he shows up. That's the story of Easter. That priest on that little retreat day, after we told our tales of woe, kind of the horror stories, now he said, now tell us about the light. The light that's true. The light of hope. The light of Christ. The light that shows up.